a couple of services ago on who do you trust? And because I'm telling you, our trust needs to be in God. And Jeremiah 17, we read this, Jeremiah 17, it says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And so we got to trust man, don't get me wrong, but what he's insinuating, people that put all their trust in man and no trust in him. And so I'm telling you, God wants you to learn to trust him. And I read the passage of scripture in Mark 11, 22. I'm not going to turn there. I'm sure they'll put it up on the board. Jesus, the disciples came concerning the fig tree being cursed from the roots and withering up. And they asked Jesus about the fig tree. And he said this. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And you know, no matter what your situation is in life, here's what my suggestion to you, or my wisdom to you is, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, some translation says have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. The Amplified says have faith in God continuously. That word have right there is to hold. And so I believe it says hold to your faith in God. Hold to your faith in God. That's why it says in Hebrews, hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You got to hold on to what you have in God and your faith in God, no matter what comes your way. Because listen, we live, I know a lot of people, they try to figure out why this happens to me, why this is going on in my life, why am I the one that's dealing with this. Let me tell you something, the devil's no respecter of persons. And the Bible says he's the God of this world. The Bible says he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And just so happened, Adam turned that over to him. And now Jesus came back, according to Romans chapter 5, and bought it back, our position that Adam had. And now we're to reign in life as kings unto our God. And so God has told us we're to be reigning over these things. And so that's one thing you got to get teaching about, and that's why we have to be taught. And I'm telling you something, so many people are ignorant. And don't take that wrong, because I'm ignorant in a lot of areas, a lot of things. Ignorance means unlearned or not knowing. That's all that means. Now, if you call them stupid, that may be another story. But we're not calling that. I'm talking about ignorant, that a lack of knowledge. But Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I kind of saw this in demonstration the other day at Home Depot. And I had to go buy me a lawnmower. And you know, the zero turns. And once you go zero, you never go back. And anyway, I had to get a new lawnmower, and they had these kids out here helping me to get this lawnmower, and I thought, and here's what God said. Now, that's ignorance right there. That's ignorance. And not stupid, ignorant, because they're smart kids. First of all, they got a job. So that's pretty smart right there in itself. But anyway, they was going to help me load that zero turn, and they were trying to push it. It wouldn't go. And one of them kids said, we need somebody to drive it. And so I just watched them. And some guy jumped on it and grabbed the handle and started going like this. And it ain't running. How many knows? It don't go without. And so he's sitting there trying to drive it, and they're trying to push it. And I finally looked up and said, I don't think it's going to work without it being started. And they said, you might be right. I said, I am right. And I thought, well, that was ignorance. But I guarantee they won't do that again. You know what? They ain't going to just throw somebody on there and try to drive it and push it. I actually drove it with my hand. I kind of guided it up on the trailer as they pushed it. And the thing about it is, there's a lot of people ignorant of the Word. That's why they blame God for everything, because they're ignorant of the Word. They're ignorant of the goodness of God. They're ignorant of who God is and what God's done. And I'm telling you something, we can't be ignorant. The devil will take advantage of our ignorance. I'm telling you the truth. He'll take advantage of our ignorance. So my goal is, as a pastor, to help us in any way I can to get us not being ignorant in certain areas. Now, I'm ignorant on a lot of things. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you something. I'm trying to solve my ignorance of the Word. And so he said, have faith in God. And so I started talking Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday night, on meditation and I read in Joshua, and I'm going to go back to Joshua real quick, if you will. Go to Joshua chapter 1, and I won't preach real long this morning, but I'm going to preach long enough. And I'm just going to drop, I'm not going to read the whole story, I'm going to drop down to verse 8. And this is what God was telling Joshua. Moses had died, and now he's going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And God told Joshua this. He said, this book of the law, we could say this Bible or this word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. How much? How much? Day and night. That kind of covers all day long. You say, well, I can't meditate in the Word of God all day long. Well, you know, you might not can just spend your whole time meditating on the Word day and night, all day long, 24 hours, 7 days a week, but you can constantly through the day be thinking and pondering on Him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so he says, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth. Now listen, he didn't mean stop saying it. He said, don't stop saying it. That's why he's telling them, don't stop saying the word. Don't let go of your confession. Hold on to it. And you shall meditate in it day and night. Here's what he said, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, God wants every one of us to have good success. There's a lot of people having bad success. God wants us to have good success. And he said, you've got to meditate in the Word. The word meditate means to murmur, not murmur in a bad way. You know, the children of Israel got in trouble murmuring in the Old Testament for murmuring against God and such as that. Murmuring is have you ever been around somebody that was murmuring? They'll just go, I tell you, we can't say, I don't know about them. I don't like them. I hate them. I don't know why they're around me. I don't know why. They're just murmuring. But he just started to, God is good. God is my Savior. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my provider. He's my peace, my joy. Praise God. He's the Savior of my family and all such as that. And that's just walking around murmuring a little bit about God.
Yeah, that's good.
Murmuring good about God. It also means to ponder. Anybody ever pondered anything? Have you ever seen anybody in deep thought? That's so deep thought they don't hear nothing you say? Huh? My wife saw me that way yesterday. Not all the time. A lot of times. Are we going to get it down any, or is it going up? I know no other husbands are that way. And I'm sure there's no wives that way, so we ain't going to point no fingers at the ladies at all. But just pondering things, just thinking about them, running them around in your mind. Just running around in your mind, just pondering, thinking about some things. And it also means to mutter. That's to speak out, to speak, to study, to utter. And it also is to roar. I think when you get to meditating on the Word of God, you start roaring like a lion. Amen. And so here's how you're going to get where you trust God, and you believe God, and you have faith in God, is when you get to know God. Spending time with God is going to cause you to get to know Him, and a part of that is in meditation. We read Psalms 1. We're not going to read that. And Psalms 1 and different ones about meditation. I'm going to read some more and help you out, or give you some ammunition to this morning. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So meditation will start causing you to change your mind. How many knows we need to change our mind from time to time? You can't be so set on what you think until you won't let God change it, or the Word change it. The word think in the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary says, to have the mind occupied on some subject. To think is to have your mind occupied on some subject. God wants you to have your minds occupied on Him. Amen. And that's what meditation is. I want to go I really was wondering why God had me go to this scripture last night. And it's in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to talk about who do you trust. We're going to talk about getting closer to God, because the Bible says if you draw close to God, He'll draw close to you, or nigh to God, close to God. And in verse 1, it says this. I'm in the New King James Version. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. It's obviously out in the desert. There was probably some combustional things happened. There was probably other things caught on fire just because of heat and all, but they just was consumed and burned up. But Moses got to looking at this bush, and it wasn't being consumed. It was just sitting there burning and burning and burning. But notice what verse 3 says. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn, or it's why it's not being completely demolished. And so notice what verse, and here's what I want you to see, because the Bible says in verse 4, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. When God saw that he turned from what he was doing to go see what was going on, I'm telling you, that's what you do when you're reading your Bible. That's what you're doing when you're praying. That's what you're doing when you're meditating. You're turning aside from all this and you're turning to find out what God wants for your life. And here's what it is. I wrote this down because this kind of popped up in my spirit. When God saw that he was interested. When God saw that he was interested, Mike. Isn't that right? When God saw he was interested. Let me ask you this. If he hadn't have turned aside to the burning bush, would he have got any information? No. None. But when God, even though God's presence was there in that bush, if he had not have turned away to the bush, God would have never given him the direction for his life. See, we got to make sure in our own personal lives that we take time to turn, I'm not talking about to the bush, for that's what an example was, it? To the Word of God, to prayer, to meditation, to ponder. I'm not talking about sitting there going, you know, with your legs crossed and doing all that. I'm talking about when you're muttering, you're speaking, you're pondering the Word of God. You're just thinking about it. The Word of God's rolling around and around in your mind. Listen, the Word of God will roll around in your mind till it drops down in here. And then it becomes a revelation to you and a part of your life. And that's what begins to remove the ignorance in your life. Amen. And so he said when he saw that he was coming to get, he was interested in what God was doing, then God spoke to him and gave him his direction. And I believe there's a lot of people needing direction in their life, but if they don't ever seek God and spend a little time with him, how are you going to expect God to lead, guide, and direct you? Most likely, he's not going to light up a bush in your backyard. Now, he might, he could. I'm not saying he won't. But most likely, he's not. Most likely your direction is going to come when you just start seeking his face for it. And you start seeking, your wisdom and knowledge is going to come when you start seeking God for that wisdom and for that knowledge. So many people says, God, and I've had so many people tell me, Pastor, I just need wisdom concerning this or wisdom concerning that, wisdom concerning this, that. And we all do. We all need wisdom. And of course, I always take in James chapter 1 where it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God and he would give him to him liberally, but let him ask in faith. Well, the thing about it is God will give you wisdom, but listen, I'm not trying to be ugly, but sometimes when in God's wisdom is when you're sitting there studying and you're praying and you're seeking him, not just about your own busy life that you ain't got time for him. And so many people don't get the guidance they're looking for because they're really just wanting somebody to pray for them and God just give them the wisdom without them having to do any study or any seeking God. We're going to hear a pin drop on the carpet here in a minute. Huh? Listen, it takes a part of us to get involved with God and say, God, I'm serious about this. I need to know what to do. I need to know what to do when something's coming against your life. And listen, that I always like to say this. When God is good, and Jesus himself said the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Am I right? John 10:10. He said, but I'm come that you may have life and that you may have it in abundance. And if we're not careful, even with that, if we're not meditating the Word of God, thinking on the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, and such as that, then we'll start asking questions like, God, why are you doing this, and what are you trying to teach me? So we'll go that route rather than just saying, devil, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus, and I'm not going to have this in Jesus' name. You get your hands off my finances. You get your hands off of my health. You get your hands off of my family. You get your hands off of them in the name of Jesus, and I'm declaring the provision of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, and the glory of God to be resident in my life and my family, and I'm not going to put up with your attacks because I have found you out. See, that's why I have a heart seeing when people start saying, well, you know, God's doing this or God's doing that. Well, God's good. People will want to go back and read Job. Well, you know, I'm just like old Job. No, you ain't. The Bible says he isn't none like him. But the thing about it is, if you read the first few verses, you'll find out that Satan was the one. Huh? Is that right? Satan was the one. But people have used old Job for the reason they're going through something. Listen to me. You go through things because you're living in a world that the God's the God of this world and you have authority over him. But listen, if you don't find that out, you're in trouble. I just let you know, you're in trouble if you don't find out your authority and your place in God. And you're going to have to do that by meditation and studying and hearing the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God and saying, God, I'm going to trust your Word. I'm believing your Word. And I want to find out all I can about you. Huh? Now, I'm still ignorant in some areas of the Word, but I'm trying to fix that. You know, you can fix ignorance. You know, it talks about in Genesis 24:63 about Isaac. It says in the Amplified, it says, and Isaac went out to meditate and bow down in prayer in the open country in the evening. Did you know sometimes we just need to have a place where we just can get quiet before God? Yours may be outside. It may be in the flower garden. It may be doing just wherever you may be, just quiet before God and say, God, I just want to meditate and think about you and ponder on you and think about your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your healing power. And you start thinking on those things and you begin to get occupied with it. I'm telling you, you'll start shouting in the flower garden. Huh? You won't even want to kill the squirrels after that. You'll want to have grace on them. Patsy. No, she still wants to kill them. Kill them with a grace bullet. Look at Psalm 63. I want to read some scriptures. Because I'm telling you, if you're going to have faith in God and you're going to learn to trust God, you got to know Him. It's hard to trust somebody that you don't know what they're doing. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation starting at verse 1, Psalm 63. It says, O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. This is a psalm of David. He says, my whole body longs for you. I like that. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there's no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast, and I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you. Listen to this. I lie, sounds like meditate day and night, don't it? Listen to this. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Glory. Isn't that a good psalm right there? He said, I just meditate on you during the night. I think about how good you are and your goodness. And I'll tell you what, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart, called and anointed to be king of Israel, even at a teenage boy. And I'm telling you, he would just meditate on God and think about God. I'm telling you what, David had a lot of things come against him. Y'all believe that? He had a lot of things, but he would always meditate on God and think about the goodness of God. You can read some of his Psalms and know he was getting a little, concerned because he'd say, oh, soul, hope in God. I'm telling you, listen, your souls, your minds, your will, and your emotions. Have you ever had to tell yourself you got to hope in God? You got to hope in God. You got to have your hope in God. You got to keep your hope in God. You got to have that great expectation. You've got to have that positive expectation. You've got to have that confident expectation, because Bible hope is I fully expect God to do exactly what He said He's going to do. It's not a wishful thinking. Well, maybe He will, maybe He won't. And I'm telling you, you got to hope in God. So David will tell his soul, soul, hope in God. Soul, hope in God. Everybody say it with me. Soul, hope in God. So you can do that through meditation. You can pull yourself back into faith through meditating in the Word of God and pondering and speaking. Listen to me. You're to be muttering the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, talking about His goodness, magnifying Him. Amen? Look in Psalm 77. Psalm 77. I hope this is all right for you this morning because this is what I got. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says this. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes diligent search. Did you know when you're meditating, you're searching? You're searching for God. You're searching for the truth of God. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and what will the truth do for you? What He said, those who abide in my word, those who stay in my word, those who commit to my word, He says, you're going to know the truth and the truth will make you free. See, a lot of people will make that statement, you know, the truth will make you free. No, He said, you'll know the truth and it'll make you free. We know the truth has the power to set you free, but until you know it, it's not going to set you free. Amen. Are you hearing me? You got to know it. You got to have a wisdom of it. You got to have a revelation of it. It's got to drop. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, I pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they may know and understand what is the power and your authority in their lives, that their eyes would be flooded with light. And I'm telling you, when the Word of God, through meditation, you get the Word from here to here. It's got to get in here. See, you can be talked out of it if it's up here. But you can't be talked out of it when it's in here. Are you hearing me? Because something will rise up on the inside of you and say, nah, I ain't going to put up with that. I don't believe that. I believe God's better than that. Amen? Amen. Oh, I have a hard time when I start seeing people talk about my father in the wrong way. Amen, don't you? Amen. Glory to God. Let's look at Psalms 119. This is one of the longest chapters in the Bible. And listen to this, Psalms 119, verse 9. I like this psalm. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. The word of God has cleansing power. Don't you believe that? It says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How are you going to get it in your heart? He said, I hid your word in my heart. Well, you got to get it in your heart before you can hide it in your heart. And he says, I've hidden your word. How do you do that? By meditation, by meditating the word of God, by pondering, by thinking upon it, by reading the word of God, hearing the word of God. It's amazing. We found out this the other day. We got that Alexa thing, you know, Alexa. And we found out there's several things about Alexa. She don't respond to Alexis. And anyway, so if you want Alexa to talk to you or communicate with you, you got to call her by her name. And it's kind of what it is with God. You got to kind of communicate Him based upon who He is. And but anyway, we found out that you can say, Alexa, read the Bible to us. And she'll read the Bible to you. She'll just start reading. I think it was in NIV that she was started reading the New Testament to us. And just reading the Bible. So look at there. There's an instrument right there for the Bible just to be read. If you say, well, I don't have time. Well, guess what? There's a little instrument you can set on your counter. Well, she'll read it for you. Thank you for that. That hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you for that wonderful information, Pastor. He said, your word I've hidden in your heart, my heart, that I might not sin against you. I'll tell you what, the word of God will keep you. Let me say this real loud. It'll keep you from sinning and living in sin. Yeah. Yeah. When you hide it in your heart. Yeah. And it comes through meditation. It comes through pondering, reading it. It says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. We'll always put word in that. And with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. He says this, I will meditate on your precepts, your word, and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes or your word, and I will not forget your word. Listen, how are we not going to forget His word? By meditating in His word. That's how we're not going to forget it. It's kind of why when you're learning something, you roll it over and over in your mind. You say it over and over. I know for me to learn something and for me to learn a scripture or something like this, I have to repeat it. I have to say it out loud. I just can't think it. Anybody with me? Anybody know how you learn a scripture? You just get it in your mouth and you start saying it over and over. Same way you learned your social security number, same way you learned your driver's license number, the same way you learned your phone number, the same way you learn your kids' birth dates. Huh? And your grandbaby's birth dates. Every now and then I just go through all my grandbaby's birth dates and I say them. And I'll say them out loud. Why? To keep that alive and keep it going. And so that's the same way I do when it comes to the God providing my needs. The same thing I do when it comes to my healing, when it comes to different things in my life. I will just out loud say the word of God. I will just quote the scriptures. I will quote, by stripes I'm healed. I'll quote, my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. I will quote, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I quote, I give and it shall be given unto me good measure. I quote those scriptures. Why? Because I had to meditate on them, think about them, say them in order to get down in here, and they automatically just come up and come out of my spirit. So I have to constantly keep renewing that in my life. Now listen, I found this out. Here's when the word works in your life. It's when there's a connection between what you say and what you believe. When the Bible says when you got born again, you said something with your mouth and you believed something in your heart, a connection was made, you were born again and you passed from death unto life and your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the way faith works, because even Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Why? He's saying there's got to be a heart and mouth connection. You say, when do I know when I heart and mouth connect? Listen, I know I got a name written in heaven. I knew my heart and mouth connected when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. When you know your heart and mouth connects, then you know, here's how you know, because you start seeing the results. You start seeing the results. And so there has to be a heart and mouth connection. So you have to meditate the Word of God, think on the Word of God. Just driving down the road, you're thinking of the goodness of God. Have you ever just been driving down the road thinking on the goodness of God and just think, oh my goodness, God's just going to fill this house up and whip us and have a Holy Ghost time right here driving down the road. Anybody ever had one of those moments? Aren't those wonderful? Aren't those fun? When you and God just... in that car, you have to be careful, pull over the side of the road. You have to watch out, because you'll just want to raise your hands up and start worshiping God and hope you got one of those cars that won't let you cross the line. My truck will let me cross the line, so I got to be very careful. It's not as smart as your vehicles are. But I'm telling you something, Patsy's got one she can praise God in now. She can just praise the Word and it'll keep you right on the road. It'll drive, it'll talk to her while she's going. She's got one of all those stuff like that. And they're coming up with that. In fact, they're coming up with self-driving cars. I won't own one, but y'all might. I have more confidence in my driving than theirs. But I'm telling you something. I found out one thing. I can't be... Have you ever seen a bumper stickers that said, God is my co-pilot? I would not know. No. He's my pilot. Man, I don't want him to be my co-pilot. I want him taking control of this thing. I want him flying this plane. Amen. Praise God. You know, them Boeing, new Boeing, whatever, 730 that's been crashing, those two that crashed. And what they kind of figured out is this. They're not trained to fly them. They're the technology. They're not trained. So when that one crashed, what they was doing, here's what the pilots was doing when that plane was going down. They was trying to look at the manual to see what to do. Did y'all see that on the news? They were pulling the manual out how to fly that plane when it's crashing. Honey, you better figure out how to fly that plane before you get behind the wheel. Huh? And I'm telling you something, sometimes we're trying to believe God for some things when we haven't been reading the manual. And it seems like our plane is taking a nosedive, and now we're trying to pull the nose up and we're trying to gain wisdom. And we can do that. Don't get me wrong. You can build a house in a storm, but it's a whole lot easier when it's calm. Huh? And so I'm telling you, by meditating the Word of God, what you're doing is you're building your house. You're reading the owner's manual. You're reading the manual of life. You're reading what God, and we still need to pull that manual out. Don't get me wrong, but I tell you what, you can remember. Most pilots don't have to pull out a manual to fly. They've already learned it. It's in them. It's a part of them, and it's a reaction whenever something happens. It's just a reaction, just like a lot of course, I've been hearing Mark Hankins on it. His pilots have to. He said his pilots have to go to school ever so often to be renewed in their knowledge and such as that. And he said they have to be instrument rated, and they have to. And he said this. Here's what. Of course, I'm not wise on airplanes and stuff like this. But to be instrument rated means you are flying strictly by those instruments when you can't see nothing else. Nothing else. And when that Kennedy guy flew into that mountain, y'all remember way back then, he flew his plane into that mountain. He went because it was foggy. It says because he wasn't instrument rated. So all he could go about what he saw. And I'm telling you, when you're instrument rated, you're locked onto those instruments. No matter what you're thinking in your mind, those instruments are telling you where you're at, what you're doing, where you're going. And as long, no matter what you can see, no matter what's going on, if it's foggy and a cloud and such as that, you know this. Those instruments are working, and they're leading me, they're guiding me, and they're directing me. And if I will just listen to them or watch them and do what it says, I will get where I'm going safe. Well, the Bible says there's a Holy Spirit inside of you that is your guide and your lead. And it don't matter what it looks like around you, if you will listen to the Holy Ghost, if you will listen to the Word of God, no matter what's going on in your life, He will direct you in the way of righteousness and peace, and He'll take you and get you through whatever you're going through to the other side. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Look at verse 23, 119. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Princes also sit and speak against me. Anything going against you? He says, but I'm just going to meditate on your word. When it seems like all things are coming against me, I'm going to sit here and ponder your word. I'm going to think about how good you are, how great you are, God. That you're on my side, you're for me, not against me. You're working on my behalf in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm gonna quit in a minute. Oh, but this is so good. Psalms 119, 97 through 98, those two verses said this. Oh, how I love your law or your word. You, I like this. You, through your commandments, your word, make me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. And let me read this again. Oh, how I love your law or word. You, talking about God, through your commandments or your word, make me wiser than my enemies. Isn't it great to be wiser than your enemy? He said, you make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. He's not talking about the enemies ever with me. He's talking about the words ever with me. Come on, if you just read it like it says, you'd think he's talking about the enemies are ever with me. No, he's talking about the Word of God's ever with me. When is it ever with you? Can I tell you when it's ever? When you get it down in here. When you've been meditating in it, pondering. Because a lot of times, if you're not careful, you'll get off. You say, I wish I could remember what that word said. I wish I could remember what the pastor said. I wish I could remember this. I wish I could remember that. Well, praise God, when you get to that point in your life, let me just tell you what to do about it. Just say Jesus. Just say Jesus, because when you say Jesus, you have done said the whole Bible. Praise God. Jesus. Everybody say it with me. Jesus. I'm telling the name above every name. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119, 130 says, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Glory to God. Psalms 119, 162 says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Verse 165 of that same chapter, says, great peace have those who love your word, and nothing causes them to stumble. And nothing causes them to stumble. Oh, I have so much. Psalms 143, 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse or ponder on the works of your hands. Psalms 145:5 says, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of you. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on the wondrous works and on your wondrous works. Let's go. I'll turn here. I'm out of time. Let's go to Malachi real quick. And this will be, maybe this will be. Verse 16. I love this. You're going to like this. Chapter 3. Malachi 3. Y'all are going to love this. Verse 16, it says, and I think I have it to read in the Amplified, so I'm going to go ahead and click mine on the Amplified. Verse 16. It says, then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name. And who thought on his name. What's thinking on it? That's meditating on him. They that thought on his name. I like this. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him. He said, there's going to be a day that there's going to be those that's going to be recognized that said, these serve God, those do not serve God. Why? He said, when you talk about God and you regularly talk about him, he says, I'm keeping a journal. I wonder if he'll let us read that journal when we get to heaven. Can I read my journal, God? Some of us may not want to hear the journal. We might not want to read it. Might not have very many chapters in it. Might not have very many pages wrote on it. Huh? But he says, when you're talking to one another about me, when you're thinking about me, he said, I'm just writing it down. Glory to God. Some of y'all might want to go home and get your book started. That wasn't a very big... Huh? Praise God. Is that in the Bible? Did he really say that? And he said it's going to be a time when they're going to discern between the righteous and the wicked. Because most people right now just think, well, it don't matter if we serve God or not. It don't matter. It don't do me no good to serve God. Why am I serving God? It seems all hell breaks loose of me all the time. Why am I serving God? He said there's going to be a day when they're going to discern between the righteous and the wicked. And when they're going to see what God's doing for you and what's going to be taking place to the wicked. So I'm telling you something, keep your hearts right with God, meditate, ponder, and let God be God. Luke chapter 18, you don't have to turn there, but it says a time when Jesus was born, that the Bible says that Mary pondered all the things that were said. All the things they said about Jesus, she'd ponder them, roll them around in her mind, thinking about all the scriptures, all the prophecy, all the things that was talked about Jesus. She would ponder it and keep it. The Bible says she pondered it and kept it in her heart. I'm going to tell you, that's what happens when you ponder the Word of God. You keep it in your heart. Let's go to one last and I'll quit. Y'all, I always quit 3 or 4 times. But this is just good, what we need to hear. Verse 4. Where did I tell y'all to go? Well, we're going to work on that. Philippians 4. Real quick. Verse 8. Paul writing to the Philippian church said, finally, brethren and sister, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of a good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. I tell you, we do enough meditating on the bad stuff. He says you need to meditate upon the good stuff. Those things are of virtue, of power. Those things that'll benefit your life. Think about those. I'm telling you what, sometimes you got to pull your mind back into what you need by what you say. You can't think thoughts away. You can't think thoughts away. You've got to say and speak thoughts away. You got to change it by what you say. And you can pull yourself back over into faith, Pull yourself back over into communicating with God and pondering God, because I'm telling you, we live in such a fast-paced life. It's hard sometimes just to have time to sit down and study the Word of God, hear the Word of God. But praise God, we got all kinds of devices we carry with us that we can hear and ponder. People say, I never have a quiet time. Well, take the time driving down the road. Just say, man, this is my time with God driving down the road. Can you make that? Can you do that? We can do that. Just drive. This is my time with God. If you don't got time at your house, you got so much, then say, I'm driving down the road. This is my time with God. I'm going to talk to God, amen, and ponder God, because I guarantee you one thing, He'll ride in a Dodge pickup. He'll get in a Ford truck. He'll get in a Mazda. He'll get in a Volkswagen. He'll have to cram himself in, but he'll get in it. He'll get in one of those little bugs. I saw a guy driving a car down the road the other day. It wasn't no longer than my pulpit. And I thought, bless your heart. You better have the angels of God around you, buddy, because you could run over a doodle bug and clip it. Huh? You better watch some little cars like that. I run up on him and think, my God, is that as fast as that thing will go? You better get you another engine, boy. Anyway, he said, meditate on these things. He said, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Thank God we can meditate and think on the right things. Amen. I'm telling you, we can think and meditate on the wrong things, or we can think and meditate on the right things. And we've got to make that decision. Now listen to me, we all get the opportunity to think about the wrong things all the time. I mean, all the day. We have to make an effort to think about the right things. Let me just say this in quitting. Is that my third closing? I used to have somebody counted for me, but they left. I guess I got too many of them for them. That, you know, to think about the wrong things, you don't have to have no effort in it. They just come. Am I right? They just come. You can be minding your old business all of a sudden. Where'd that come from? And then you got to decide, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to cast it down, or am I going to take it up? Many people take it up by saying it, start talking it, knowing they don't want that. But I tell you what, to think on the things of God, you have to make an effort to do it. You have to pull out of your spirit. You got to work out your salvation. You got to pull from what's on the inside of you. Drive down the road. When the devil says you ain't going to make it, you need to pull down in there. Well, God's on my side. He's for me. He's not against me. Bless God, I'm going to make it in Jesus' name. You have to literally step up to the plate and say, devil, I am not taking your thoughts. I've got the thoughts of God, and I'm going to think and ponder on the goodness of God, and God's going to do exactly what He said He was going to do. I fully expect it. It's going to happen for me in the name of Jesus, and I will not accept anything less than God's best in my life. Father, we love You and thank You for Your goodness today. Thank You for the Bible. Thank You for the Word. Thank You for the Holy Ghost that dwells and abides on the inside of us. You said He'll bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever we have heard, that God, at the point that we need it, it will come up on the inside of us when we have put it in. He said He'd bring to our remembrance whatsoever we have heard. So God, we need to hear some things. We need to meditate on some things. We need to ponder and mutter and speak and declare these things, God. I thank You, Father, and I declare over every person sitting in this church this morning that we're going to take some time and we're just going to get to know You, get closer to You, and we're going to take out the owner's manual, and we're going to take out the manual to life, and we're going to live in the name of Jesus. We're going to live a long, satisfied life. We're going to live a healthy life. We're going to live a prosperous life. We're going to live a peaceful life. We're going to live a joyful life. God, we're going to live in the abundance of what You said You have given us. And we're going to increase more and more spiritually, physically, financially, every area of life. And God, we know that we're Your workmanship. We're created unto good works. And that You working in us both to will and to do of Your good pleasure. God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us and gives life to our mortal body. You redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth upon a tree. God, He redeemed us us from the curse of sickness and disease, poverty and lack, sin and death. And so, Father, we thank you and praise you for that. God, we thank you that you put stripes on your Son Jesus' back that we could be healed. God, we thank you that we have all the provision that we need, for our God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and we'll lack for nothing in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Oh, we thank you for your word that's living and abiding on the inside of us. Holy Ghost, help us. Help us. Lead us. Guide us. Oh, into the blessings of the Lord. You said you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We love you so much and thank you for your goodness and your mercy.